All right, anybody else? Anybody got anything you want to give away? What day are we up on our Proverbs reading? Chapter number 15. You could be anywhere. It doesn't have to be in Proverbs. There's something that you got that you'd like to talk about, like to share, like to testify, like to glory in, like to give away, like to ask help on. We may not collectively be able to give a solid answer, but we can collectively point in the right direction and then try to seek some help to get some answers for it. Every proverb, it's usually like this. It's usually like this. What our heart seeks, our mouths eat. What our heart seeks, our mouths feed on. What our heart seeks, our mouths will eat, or our mouths will feed upon. That's taken out of Proverbs chapter number 15. Look, if you would, in verse number 14. Notice the pattern of the thought here. The heart, who has understanding, seeks knowledge. So that's saying that the heart of him who has understanding seeks knowledge to feed on knowledge. What our heart seeks, our mouths will eat. And that's pictured in the next phrase. But the mouth of fools feed on what? Why? Trash. Why? Because that's what they seek. You see, their heart seeks foolishness, so they feed upon foolishness. The heart of him who has understanding seeks knowledge, but the mouth of fools feeds on foolishness or folly. So you notice how one verse, one phrase in that talks about what the heart seeks. Then the next phrase says what the mouth eats. So it's saying that whatever our heart is seeking is what our mouths are going to feed upon. That's what we gravitate to. If it's folly or foolishness, that's what our heart is seeking. It's knowledge. That's what our heart is seeking, knowledge, because we have understanding. And that's one thing about the heart of him who has understanding. He's steadily increasing in knowledge. He wants knowledge. Knowledge is a good thing. He's pursuing it. Knowledge is having truth or the facts about something. Wisdom is knowing what to do with the facts or the truth that you have. Now, we need wisdom, and we need knowledge of things, but we really need wisdom to put that knowledge to work. So just remember that. Knowledge is having truth about something, or knowing the facts about something, and wisdom is knowing what to do with the truth that you know. It's knowing what to do with what you know. That's the idea of wisdom. It's knowing how to take the next step. Knowing what to do next. And the wise that are heavenly wise are know what to do in the next step to stay in step with or in harmony with God. That's the purpose of heavenly wisdom. To be in tune with, in harmony with the work of the Lord. So whatever our heart is seeking is what our mouths are going to feed on. That's what we gravitate to. If it's yes, yes. Look in 16:9. A man's heart plans his way, but the Lord directs his steps. Just like how we read when we was in the Psalms. What did the Psalms teach us? That the steps of a good man, which is speaking of the quality of the character of the man, which our goodness is nothing without the Lord. So we're talking about the Lord at work. So the steps of a good man are ordained or appointed or ordered by the Lord. So when we are seeking the Lord, that is the direct result of God at work in us. That's wisdom being applied with the knowledge that we have, that it is good to seek the Lord. Our hearts plan many things. The Scriptures talks about a man's heart plans his way, or there's many plans in a man's heart, but the counsel of the Lord, the will of God, is what's going to stand. Our plans change. Our plans get altered. That's going to happen with the wise and the unwise. You can be wise and make plans, and that wise plans that you're making don't always come like you planned it. We entrust that to the Lord, right? We give that over to Him. That's just part of our journey. That's why we put no confidence in the flesh. That's why Proverbs 3, 5, and 6, we go back to that. Trust the Lord with all your heart. Lean not upon. Acknowledge Him in all your ways, and He will what? He's going to direct our paths. Amen. So, we've all had plans in our hearts to do certain things that those plans just didn't turn out the way we thought they would. And you know what? That's a good thing. A real good thing. Because remember, wisdom is never gets it wrong, but the wise often still get it wrong. When they're operating in God's wisdom, they're going to do that which is pure, which is right, which is noble, which is holy. But we don't always operate. Even though we are known to be wise, we don't operate in that wisdom at all times. And we can generate plans and do things that are just not going to be part of the will of God. That's why James, what does James encourage us to do when it comes to making plans? How did he say to preface every plan? If God wills. Lord willing, this is what we will do. Lord willing, this is what we will do tomorrow. Lord willing, this is what we will do. He said, who in the world are you? Today's got enough trouble in and of itself. How do you know what's going to turn out tomorrow? You don't. So you entrust that tomorrow and that plan unto the Lord. And if He decides to change it, He has that prerogative, and you're okay with it. Amen. Aren't you glad He's changed some plans that you thought would have been best? Amen. There's really no need to argue with Him on it or fight Him on it. Hey, He knows what's been. You want Him to redirect and do and change things in your life that is only going to create. We get ourselves in enough trouble. Are you with me? I'm glad He redirects some of those things at times when we don't fight with Him on it and just let him do what He wants to do and work it out. We often see it in hindsight. We need to be able to see it when we're living in the moment, and the just shall walk by faith, just trusting in the Lord. Amen? Amen. Because that's one thing about it. You ain't got to physically see it to walk in it. That's what we do. We walk by faith. And walking by faith is often we just can't see it actually right now before us. We're taking God at His word. It's going to be that way. And sure enough, He works it out in a way that brings glory to Him. Amen? Look in 13:19. Speaking of this idea of what the heart seeks, the mouth will eat. I think it's 13:19. Let's see. Yes. A desire, a longing that comes to pass, that is accomplished, is sweet to the soul. Scripture refers to it in 13:12. Hope deferred makes the heart sick, but when the desire comes, it's what? A tree of life. It's sweet to the soul. It's life to the soul. But notice the second phrase in that. But it is an abomination to fools to depart from that which is evil. It's absurd to even suggest that they depart from that which is fallen or evil. Y'all notice that? But it is an abomination, something that is revolting, something that is hated to the fool to depart from his own way, from what he believes is right, And as Proverbs 14:12 says, there's a way that seemeth right to a man, but its way leads thereunto what? Death. Fools see it as something totally detestable to even suggest to them to depart from their foolish ways. Like right now over in Alabama, did y'all notice that on the news with their decisions on abortion and how the news coverage of it was? But there's so many people out there, and there's so many ones who are saying that abortion is a human right. It's a human right. Why do they say that? Why do they defend that? Because it is an abomination for them to depart from that evil mindset. That is a detestable, horrible, monstrous thing to say that a woman doesn't have that right to do what she wants to do or however she wants to do it. And they don't want to depart from that, what they have a legal liberty to do in America to do that. And they think that is a detestable, horrible thing to depart from that. So you see it right here. That's what that is saying. It is something as an abomination for a fool to depart from that which has no eternal value. It's an abomination. And I'd imagine if we dug up in our own lives, there'll be something about us that we are thinking or acting foolishly on and have the same detestable thoughts for us to set it aside and do it another way or do it God's way. Are you with me? Just because we can be wise don't mean we can't act like a fool every once in a while. And all God's people said? Amen. Or have foolish thoughts about certain things. And we see that. So we want to be keen. We want to be wise and we want to learn. And that's why the Scripture says that it all depends on how you're dealing with somebody. Look in chapter number 9. Chapter 9 gives us great insight on the difference between the wise, the fool, and a scoffer, a mocker, and who and how we are working with people and how people receive correction. Verse number 7 says, "He who corrects a scoffer," and a scoffer is a fool. He's just a fool at another level. He's just a fool at another level. They have gotten brazen in their folly and they are willing to defend it and then lash out. And a fool that is a scoffer is also what the Bible would describe as somebody who's not right, therefore they are wrong. It says, "He who corrects a scoffer get shame for himself, and he who rebukes a wicked man only harms himself. Do not correct a scoffer for fear he hates you. Rebuke a wise man, and what will the wise man do? In return, the wise man is going to love you for correcting, for rebuking, for putting to the mind. Give instruction to a wise man, and he will still be wiser. Teach a just man, and he will increase in what?" How we receive instruction, how we receive correction, how we receive a word of rebuke tells us a lot about who we are and where we are in the journey. If I have trouble with a word that comes to correct me, if that troubles me to the point where it angers me and bothers me to the point that all I want to do is get at that person who come to me lovingly to try to help me and correct me, that's telling me I'm operating in the spirit of a scoffer. I'm acting like a fool in this. And I'm not being wise. Because in the spirit of wisdom, those who are operating in wisdom are always increasing in learning. They welcome the rebuke. They love the brother that sees an error in their life that comes to try to help them. Why? Because they would rather be right with God than being wrong and not knowing that they're wrong. So they welcome when somebody spots something in their life that is off and they come and correct it, they put it in mind, they want that, they receive that, and they welcome it lovingly from the hand of God. A great picture of it is this. Go to Psalm 141. Psalm 141. If I'm not careful, I can slip back. I can backslide in an area of my life. I can backslide. And if I slip and backslide, me and Brother Shannon was talking about this on the phone. Remember, Proverbs 14:14 says, "The backslider in heart is filled with his own ways." The backslider in heart is filled, overflowing with his own ways. When somebody backslides, when you slide into something, you didn't run away. You didn't walk away, you slipped and slid. And it often goes, what? Goes unnoticed initially. You may not even realize that you slipped back, or somebody around you has slipped back in heart. In heart. He didn't say slip, backslide in your ways. A backslider where? In heart. The heart slips back. It can easily go unnoticed. But what starts manifesting in a backslider in heart that's just slipped, their heart didn't run, they didn't walk off, it just slid off. What happens is they start being filled up with their own ways. They're not being satisfied or filled up and overflowing from above. David says this in Psalm 141 in verse number 5. Now, this is coming from the heart of a king who had a heart after God. David got it wrong on many occasions, but one thing David was good about was getting it right. How did he get it right? He repented. He lived a lifestyle of repentance. Now, when he was right with God, he asked the Lord that when there was something wrong in his walk, he said, "God, I'm asking you to send those who are right and discerning." He says it in verse number 5, "Let the righteous strike me. It shall be as a kindness, as your mercy. And let him rebuke me. It shall be as excellent oil. Let not my head refuse it." That's basically saying, don't let me be too prideful not to accept this kind mercy that you send my way with a strike from the righteous, and I'll take that rebuke as if you're anointing me with fresh oil for a fresh work. So this is a great picture of a humble heart who is a meek king or a meek individual who has a heart after God, saying this, that I would rather be right with you after being corrected by your people than being wrong from you and not even know it and nobody say a word about it. And that ought to be all of our hearts, amen? Amen. That if you notice something about my walk and about my life that is slipping, that's out of line, would you please identify it? Would you help me with it? Because I want to walk and be right with God. Amen? I want to walk and be right with Him. And He used this strong language. Not just let the righteous come to me and tell me. Let Him take a rod and let Him knock me over the head with it. And instead of me wanting to fight back, I will see it as a direct act of your mercy. Not a blow from an enemy, but from a loving hand of God in one of His servants. Let Him strike me with a rod. I think Psalm 23 talks about that, doesn't it? When it says that your rod and your staff do what? They comfort me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. So He's saying, let them rebuke me. So we go back to this mindset of how do we welcome instruction? How do we welcome correction? How do we receive a word from the wise? Is it something that I love to hear? Is it something I love to feed upon? Or is it something that is detestable and it's something I push away from? That tells me a lot about my heart, where I'm at. Because the heart of him who has understanding is going to feed on the revelation God reveals, the knowledge that God unveils. But the heart of a fool is going to push away from that table to feed on trash, lifeless stuff. That's what they gravitate toward. I don't want to be in that position, amen? That's not to say that I'm not prone to it. That's not to say that there's things that are not going to appeal to my fleshly nature. You'll never get away from the appeal of the flesh. That flesh is always going to be there. That flesh has always got an appeal to things, and it wants to start things in my life. But remember, I don't have to finish what the flesh starts. And if I do act on what the flesh starts, I need to come to the place where I'm asking God to use the righteous to bring a word to me, grant me repentance, bring me back. I want to be right with you. Amen? Because how many of y'all still act on the desires of the flesh at times?
We all do.
Everybody does. Everybody does. Having temptations of the flesh is common to all men. What's the difference between the righteous and the unrighteous, the believer and the unbeliever, the disciple and the rejecter, is the fact that there's a war going on with my flesh.
Yeah.
That's the difference. That there is a struggle, and I have a triumphal victor that I am looking to has already won the battle, and he's teaching me more and more from day to day to turn to him. Not that he will be my strength, though he will, but that he is my strength. Not that I will see victory. He is my victory. He is my rock. He is my refuge. He is my hiding place. He is my wisdom. He is my everything. Amen? And he is my strength. And how do I approach all that? The same way I received him. How did I receive him? Through faith. Through faith, I believe I'm eternally secure in Christ Jesus. I am as righteous as I'll ever be because my righteousness is not of me, it's of Jesus, right? So, how I received Him is how I walk in Him. By what? By faith. How do I receive correction? By faith. How do I walk in His love? By faith. How do I walk in His hope? By faith. How do I welcome His joy? By faith. It's all by faith. And faith only comes through His grace, which allows me to hear and hear the news that He's proclaiming. Amen? So He's instruction. I think that says that. Look in chapter, go to Proverbs chapter 4. Look in verse number 13. Take firm hold, take possession of what? Take possession of instruction and do not let go. Keep her, for she is what? She is thy life. Now, the her is in reference toward wisdom. But when wisdom is at work, wisdom is always going to be instructing us. Wisdom is always instructing and correcting us. Look in chapter 5 and verse number 23, I believe it is. 5:23 says, he shall die for lack of what? And in the greatness of his folly he shall go astray. Look in verse number 12 of chapter 5. Verse 12 of chapter 5. He said, I have hated what?
Instruction.
I have hated instruction, and my heart despised correction. I was right, I have not obeyed the voices of my teachers, nor inclined my ear to those who instructed me. I was on the verge of total ruin in the midst of the assembly of the congregation. That is saying, I was among the wise. I heard the words of the wise. It was being communicated all around me. I was in the middle of it, but I hated instruction and correction, so I never received it. And I was on the verge of total ruin amongst the blessing. When it was right there to grab a hold of it. But because I hated instruction, I missed it. Look in chapter 6, I think verse 23. Chapter 6, verse 23. For the commandment is a what? It's a lamp. We need a lamp to see where we're walking. We need to see the ground that we're walking on, the path that we're on. And the law is a what? Light. It illuminates the path, not only the way we're going, but where we're going to. And then he says, reproofs, that would be correction, the correction of instruction, reproofs of instructions are the way of life. There's no way around it. In God's kingdom, we are going to be constantly reproved by the Word of God and the ways of God. Amen? Go look over in Psalm 119 real quick. Now watch how this fits. This is why a lot of people avoid the truth. Psalm 119 in the first few verses. Psalm 119. I like this thought here. It says, this is verse 1, blessed are the undefiled in the way, who are walking in the way, who walk in the law of the Lord. Remember, it's a light. Blessed are those who keep His testimonies, who seek Him with the whole heart. They who are in this position, who walk in the way, undefiled in the way, they're walking in the law, they are keeping their eye on His testimonies, who seek Him with the whole heart. They do no iniquity. They're walking in wisdom. They walk in His ways. You have commanded us to keep Your precepts diligently. Notice what verse 5 says. He's acknowledging and confessing that, basically saying, this ain't me. What I just said in the first four verses, I'm not there. Oh, that my ways were directed to keep Your statutes. Then I would not be ashamed when I looked into all Your commandments. You hear that? He's basically saying this. How does a man walk faithfully with God? Verse 1 through 4. And then he says, but that's not me. I haven't walked that away. And when I look into Your commandments, all they do has been creating what? Grief and shame. All I feel is condemnation by it. Oh, that my ways were directed to keep Your statutes, then I would not be ashamed when I looked into all Your commandments. You ever been reading the Word of God and think, oh, Lord, I ain't doing nothing it says. Oh, Lord, I ain't living like this. Oh, Lord, why is everybody else walking in this, but I'm not walking in that? That's what he's saying there. He's saying, how does a man keep his way? By walking in the will of God. But when I look in it, all I see is I'm not doing it, and it's creating shame for me. But he's honest. He's honest, and he's saying, God, do something with me. Help me with this. And I want to tell you, that's where we all need to be. Help me, Lord. I can't do this without You doing it in me. Amen?
Amen.
I can't live this way unless You live it in me. It all goes back to the heart. That's why the Scripture keeps telling us to guard our heart. Because out of the heart, all the issues of life will proceed out of that. And we want God to arrest our hearts. We want Him to unite our hearts that we can fear Him and walk with Him. Amen? Yeah, look in 15:33. And we're going to go. 15:33. Well, seeing as we write on top of it, look in verse 32. Look in verse 31. The ear that hears the rebukes of life will abide among who? Can you see God's going to continually rebuke us and deal with us? That's just part of it. Thank God for it. Amen. That's a praise report. God's being merciful with us. He who disdains instruction despises his own soul. But he who heeds rebuke gets understanding. Look at verse 33. The fear of the Lord is the instruction of wisdom, and before honor is humility. The fear of the Lord is the instruction of wisdom, and before honor is humility. There's no way to get to honor except through humility. There's no way to get to wisdom except through the fear of the Lord. Because the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. You've heard me say that, but what is the fear of the Lord? It's the ABCs of the kingdom. The first thing, the instruction of wisdom will always be the fear of the Lord, to give place to God. And if we're not giving place to Him, that means priority to Him, we're not receiving the instruction of wisdom. Because that's going to be the first step that wisdom is going to do, is teach us to yield in awe and reverence and to give place to the Lord. And if we're not in that place, there's no way we will receive the next step with that. You've got to go through the fear of the Lord to walk in the wisdom of God, no different than you have to go through humility to be honored by God. The only way to be honored is you got to be humble. You can't flip that over. You can't be honored and go through honor to get to humility. It's flipped. The only way to get to be lifted and honored, you got to go through humility. You got to be humble. Well, the only way to walk in wisdom, you got to go through the fear of the Lord. And the fear of the Lord is what the instruction of wisdom is going to give us. It's always going to teach us what? To give priority over to the Lord. To fear Him first and foremost. What does Matthew 6:33 teach? Seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and everything else is going to fall in its place. That's what wisdom is going to instruct us to do. Give first place to Him. And then everything else just kind of falls right in its proper place. To Him be the glory. Amen. Amen. You get that out of order, we get everything else out of order. Nothing comes together. Because that's what wisdom is going to teach us. Because that's where purity is found, in the fear of the Lord. Amen? And wisdom is always first pure. Right, right. I think you said the right word. We're looking at the circumstances. We're looking at something, but not to someone. And when you're looking at something and not someone, everything you look at is going to be misperceived in the wrong way. That's right. It's going to be perceived wrong. We're going to have the wrong perception of it if we're looking at something without looking at that something through someone, through the Lord. You get that out, no matter how you look at something, it's going to have the wrong perspective on it every single time, because He must define for us how we're looking at that something. And if we're looking at it without turning to Him, no matter what it is, we'll be perceived wrongly. And it's going to be a misplaced priority. And then we're going to look at that person not through His eyes, not through wisdom, not through meekness, not through any of those things, through His mercy. We'll look at it the wrong way every single time. And y'all know what I'm talking about. We've all done that before. We've all done that. That's why we need help. I must make time for timeless truths, but I can't afford to give up much of my precious time for temporary information that might fit well with this temporary generation that haven't been made fit to last for the generation of the righteous. I have to be careful. The time I invest in something must be well spent, so I need to invest in truths that will outlive the time I have left on this earth. Think about that for a moment. The time I invest in something must be well spent. So I need to invest in truths that will outlive the time I have left on this earth. If all I'm investing in is temporary things, it will have no benefit or profit to me when my time's done. What I invest in has to outlive me. Has to outlive me. And if I'm not investing in that, I'm investing in the wrong things. Amen?
Amen.
Father, we thank you tonight. We bless you. We ask you to help us with these things. We're needy. We're fallen. We're thankful as new creatures in Christ. You are our hope. You are our answer. The life you lived, you want to live in us. You are our strength. You are our victory. And we trust you. We depend on you. You are our wisdom. You can do what we can't do. And we look into you right now and asking for your help. So teach us. Teach us how to fear you. In Jesus' name, amen. Love y'all. Love y'all.